This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NHL season is back. The Minnesota Wild come off the break with a really gutsy win in Detroit yesterday, winning in overtime with Marco Rossi scoring the game winner. Jesse Pierce from the Bar Down Beauties podcast and NHL.com joins us. She joins us, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jesse, once again, Marco Rossi continues to, I don't even want to say surprise anymore, because I just think the kid has come into his own. Is there a more improved player or a more impactful and improved player on this team this year than Marco Rossi has been for the Minnesota Wild?
I don't think so, and you saw that a lot last year. I know Brock Faber garnered a lot of the rookie accolades, but Marco Rossi was in that conversation for quite a while, too. I mean, he really took the offseason seriously, both last season and this past, and came out and showed everybody all the naysayers. I mean, there's a lot of pressure that comes with being a 9th overall pick, especially in an organization like the Minnesota Wild, who's so hungry for success, so hungry to make a deep playoff run. And Marco Rossi kind of had a lot of that pressure on him, and unfortunate circumstances, you know, prevented him maybe from getting to that level. But the past 2 years have been some of his best, and to see him expound on what he was able to accomplish last year and just continue to improve it, especially with guys in and out of the lineup as key as they've been. Marco Rossi is one of the Minnesota Wild's best and most consistent players, which I think it puts him on a different pedestal as well.
Jesse, how excited are you about this Four Nations face-off? It absolutely captivated everybody, it seems like. International hockey has always been something huge, especially since 1980. But what did you think about this and the fact that this actually kind of went not quite head-to-head, but the NHL versus the NBA, which is what this has kind of turned into, and I think the NHL is on top of this one by about tenfold.
Oh, my gosh, I loved it. I mean, I used to work at USA Hockey a decade ago, so ever since then I've certainly been ingrained in international competition, and you get to see some of that best-on-best competition at the World Junior Championships, which I'm so excited to have in St. Paul next year, but that's at the junior level. And ever since they removed that NHL competition from the Olympics and from that international play, there really hasn't been an opportunity to see the best players in the National Hockey League go at it head-to-head and get these kind of super teams together. And I think what makes it so unique is hockey players are players that playing for their country means something. You know, you don't find that in a lot of different sports, right? You don't find necessarily where an exhibition game, I think that was one of the funniest memes I saw, where it was, you know, NBA players want to sit out in a regular season game, whereas NHL players will die for their country in an exhibition, which is essentially what the Four Nations was. But I think what I loved is that it did. It pulled in so many new viewers. Now, the challenge the NHL is posed with is how do you keep them engaged in hockey? It's going to be hard, especially because those emotions can't necessarily be emulated. Those rivalries can't be emulated. And obviously, those line combinations cannot be replicated during the course of a regular season. But if you can somehow pull on those strings and let people know, hey, we got the Olympics coming. Hey, you loved Connor McDavid in this instance. Come watch him with the Edmonton Oilers as they make a push. I mean, lucky for the NHL, this toward the end of the regular season can be some of the most compelling, some of the most exciting, because every point matters. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Overall, though, I love it. I wish USA could come out with that gold, but there's always next year.
Well, maybe Austin Matthews shouldn't have left the best player in the game alone in the slot to have a one-timer. Just going
to
say it.
Be fair to Austin, Connor McDavid didn't do a heck of a whole lot throughout the course of the game. Similar to how Sidney Crosby in that gold medal game in Vancouver didn't do a heck of a whole lot through the 60 minutes, so maybe he just forgot.
But the great players find the way, Jesse, right?
They do. They do. That's true.
Jesse Pierce joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jesse, as good as this Wild team has been this season, I still think a part of their game I think is that needs to be developed a little more. Is that power play? They're in the bottom of the league, the bottom half of the league with it. What do you see in your mind? What can change to make it better and kind of get them out of the cellar a little bit?
It's interesting because I know John Hines, he's a great coach in the respect that he's willing to tweak things. He's willing to change things and willing to change personnel, and he's tried different combinations. I mean, you go back to the beginning of the year, and on paper, when you've got Joel Eriksson, Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, Brock Faber, and Jared Spurgeon on your power play, that is a solid
power play
unit, and it's incredible that it hasn't transpired onto success on the ice. So it'll be interesting to see what John Hines does to get that going, to get that clicking. You know, I think they've worked out some kinks in the penalty kill unit, which is also as important. But I think it's just a matter of those guys finding their confidence and taking the shot. I know I hate. I can't quite see everything the guys on the ice are. But more so, I do think sometimes the guys need to be a little selfish, be willing to take that shot instead of just passing it around and getting close to that. And that's where Joel Eriksson plays a huge role on that power play.
Hey, Jesse, considering all of the injuries that we've had this year, and it's unbelievable to watch how many injuries we've had, is he almost a guy that you could say, you know, under the right circumstances, we win some games, we get some guys healthier, that this he could be considered for a coach of the year type of thing because of all of the different things that have happened and all the injuries that have stacked up this year?
Yeah, I think so, because you do. If you go back to last season, it's really not that different by terms of injuries. I know injury was kind of a big, I don't want to say excuse, but a big reasoning behind why the Minnesota faltered so bad is because they were dealing with injuries too. Again, Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, the same guys that are the same key pieces have been injured this year. But this year, the team entered with a different mentality, a grittiness, a mental toughness almost, and that's something I know John Hines has really emphasized. I mean, when he was hired to replace Dean Evason early on in the season last year, he didn't say, I'm here to help pull you guys out. I'm here to jump in the trenches with you, was kind of his motto. You know, he was getting down in dirty, and I think he really ingrained in the guys, we don't want to have the same start as we did last year. We don't want to just roll over and say, oh no, we don't have a Kirill Kaprizov. What are we going to do? I mean, this year you're seeing guys like Rossi step up. You're seeing guys like Brock Faber even continue to grow on their success, and Joel Eriksson play a huge role as well. And even the third and fourth line, you're seeing a little bit of that depth that Minnesota Wild needs. So I think John Hines definitely is a huge part of that. And the way that he approaches each game, even if it's a loss, as a not do or die situation necessarily. You move on. If you win, you move on. If you lose, you move on. Somehow you just have to scrap the good with the bad as well and take it game by game.
Jesse Pierce joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We are just a few weeks away here, Jesse, from the NHL trade deadline. Really quickly, Bill Guerin said this week, it sounds like Kirill Kaprizov's going to be out longer. He said, quote, I think he's going to be out longer than we originally expected. Does that change how they approach the deadline here, especially with the team playing as well as they are? They're obviously going to have to add if you're going to lose Kirill Kaprizov for an extended period of time. What do you think happens at the deadline in a few weeks?
You know, it's funny. When Bill Guerin met with us media members to announce that Kirill was going to be having surgery and missed time during that initial conversation, I asked Billy just that. I said, you know, March 7th will be here before you know it. What does this change your approach? And he said, it could. So to even go off of that, I think it has to. I think you just need to plump up that depth. You're going to have to rely on depth without a Kirill Kaprizov. There's no replacing a Kirill. It's on the guys that are on the ice. And so not only are you going to need the Matt Boldy from Four Nations, who played tremendous, by the way. I want to see that Boldy in a Wild jersey, and the Marco Rossis. But yeah, if you can add one more piece, Bill Guerin has done a tremendous job at the deadline adding the right pieces. You look back a couple years ago when he picked up Marc-Andre Fleury and got Gustav Nyquist. I mean, he's really good at finding
Jake Middleton,
Jake Middleton, right? Like, there are years that he's always adding. And I think regardless, Bill might have looked to tweak or add just because that's kind of the mantra he's created. But I think now it definitely feels he has to make an offensive addition. Now, what that looks like, I'm not sure, because again, as we've talked at length with, the salary cap is what it is. There's not a whole lot of money there. It's not going to be a big splash, but I think he'll definitely add a piece to at least help them out depth-wise.
Hey, real quick, I got one for you. How about Ryan Hartman? What's the future look like with this whole situation?
It's very interesting. I love Ryan Hartman. I love the grittiness that he brings. I think he's a solid third line winger. He has a lot of attitude to him, which is really good. But also, I can see Bill Guerin probably being not too pleased with Ryan Hartman with his kind of egregious penalty that not only resulted in 3 power play goals, but a 10-game suspension, which means you're down another forward. And as we just talked about, you can't afford that right now. So I would imagine it's a very short leash for Ryan Hartman. I know Bill Guerin loves the way he plays, too. It's the reason he got an extension. And certainly they've put Hartman on a very strict practice regimen, which includes a lot of bag skates, not while he works out the suspension. So he's definitely in the doghouse. Will that be explored as far as trade? Possibly, but you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how it does unfold, because I know Bill Guerin likes him, and I know there's a value that Hartman can bring. He just really has to control the way that he plays the game sometimes.
Jesse Pierce, appreciate your time. We are out of time today. Have a great Sunday, everybody. We'll see you next week.